anyway, maybe you can tell me that story again about that some of these parties you used to have around here where you roasted goat or something on the side of the hill.
Yeah, they'd roast a goat, yeah. I don't remember too much about it. I was pretty even a young kid then, but everybody miles around was there.
What was the occasion?
Nothing. Just a party, yeah.
Saturday?
Just a party. They were hell for parties, you know.
Yeah. And somebody's wedding, you said you were talking about?
Well, Jim Sergino's wedding, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember, but I don't remember too much about it, no.
A lot of people would come around and...
Oh, yeah, all the local people were there, yeah.
But that's the only wedding you remember. Other than that, it was a...
Well, that's about the only one I really remember, yeah.
Yeah. But
remember that. Yeah.
Then 4th of July, that was a lot of people of all ages would come around. And
yeah.
Did people come very far away to get to those things?
Oh, just the people surrounding the country here was all, yeah. Around Sherwood. Yeah.
I suppose every little community had its own. Did Middleton, was that any size yet at that time?
No, there never was anything in Middleton that I remember of, but I think I saw a schoolhouse there once.
Wasn't there a post office there?
I don't remember.
Maybe you had to go there to get it. I remember my mom counting votes over there.
They would. They used to vote there in the old Middleton community hall, yeah.
And then there was a little community up the hill, yeah. It was called, where the family, they had their own little church and everything else. It was up on Rex Hill.
They
called it Ebenezer.
Oh, and God, excuse me, I recall that, but I don't,
I can't
remember too much about it. No.
Then did you ever get up on Carrick Mountain much? Did you get up there? Did you ever have any business up there?
No. Well, I worked up there baling hay, I guess.
Uh-huh. Did you ever work on the old, did they still have crews that went around from place to place at that time?
Threshing crews.
Threshing, did they? Did you get in on any of that?
Well, I just helped right around here, pitching bundles right around just locally here as well. All the Galbraiths and the Krauses.
Do you remember many people that couldn't talk? Were there, do you know anybody that couldn't speak English out here? Did you ever come up across somebody you couldn't even understand them because they were maybe talking English?
Well, some
talk
pretty broken.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You never had that trouble with the Italians that you knew?
No.
Now you mentioned one name there that was interesting to me. That was married to the Galbraith. His father's name was
Francisco.
Francisco.
That was Joe's mother's maiden name was Francisco. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now would you remember him?
Oh yeah, I remember him. Really.
Now would he have an accent?
Well, I think so. Yeah. I remember right. Yeah.
So what about
Andrew? Andrew was his name, wasn't it?
Andrew.
Andrew, yeah, Andrew Francisco, yeah. Angelo Sergino's father's name, I think.
Oh.
And Andrew Francisco, yeah.
Andrew Francisco.
Yeah, that was, he talked broken. He was an onion raiser.
Did you ever hear them talking to each other in Italian?
I don't recall it. Oh, I remember Joe's uncle, once in a while, they'd talk a little between them.
Because, you know, according to Dave, you know, they had a little trouble even the Italians understanding each other.
Joe, talking to Joe, he could tell you more about that.
Yeah.
I just think we remember him, though.
But I'm wondering if you went into a store or something down here, and you know, maybe there were people that you didn't even really talk to or something, you know. There was just no use trying to talk to them because they wouldn't know what you were talking about.
Old man Ficken, I can remember him, he talked broken.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was an old German family. That family.
I don't know him wise, but...
Oh, yeah, he's a newcomer.
Yeah, but I mean, he's...
He's hard to understand
him
either.
Yeah. He's not around now?
No, he's dead.
Because I know 20 years ago, there were a lot of people that had real heavy, that I remember, German accents.
Yeah.
But I don't know anybody now. Oldenburg over here has an accent yet. But do you ever come in contact with the Germans as such?
Well, I remember Pete Borchers. He talked to them.
Yeah. Do you think he could speak the German language?
Oh, I think he could.
Did you ever hear him talk it?
Not that I remember, no.
But, no, was he an onion man?
Yeah, he was right down here. Well, Nels Anderson got the place now, the old place down here.
On this side of the road?
Yeah.
Towards where the councilmen's are?
Yeah, that was the old Pete Borchers, but right down the highway here. Past Nels Anderson.
Highway.
Or just where Urban Anderson lives.
Yeah.
Just the other side of him was Pete Borchers' old place.
Oh, I see. Now, you don't know. Let's see. You've got how many brothers and sisters?
I just got two sisters. Three sisters.
Three sisters.
Sisters.
Three sisters, no brothers. Never had any brothers. So are you the last, and there's a Francis house you referred to, is that
cousin?
That's your cousin? How many, there? I know it's in the phone book, there's quite a few houses, yeah.
Well, the only ones I know are related to me is
Francis.
Francis, only one. Where?
Francis? Does he have any brothers or sisters?
Sisters, my brother.
So your family's going to die out, don't
you? His sister just died, but...
Well, mine and, yeah, well, I've got a son, something.
Oh, you got a son?
They worked for Forest Service.
Uh-huh.
Boy, like National Forest.
So you're another one of these families that maybe they're not around too much longer, huh?
Yeah. Francis and I say we're the last of the Hesses. We've got one cousin we don't claim too well. But,
everybody does, yeah.
We have a cousin that's come to one of the biggest ranches in Klamath County. His name is Mordecai Hess, and she's writing a book on Hess history now.
Oh?
She's gathered up a lot of stuff.
Well, it goes back before the Civil War, I'll bet.
She's writing a book on it.
And she's wanting that big book.
She wants to get this big book here, too.
Yeah, well, how'd you come about that book?
It's my grandparents.
Oh. They bought this, or was it?
Some guy come around selling them in the early 1900s.
They had their name in it, and they said, look, here, you got your name in it. Why don't you buy this?
I don't know really how it come about that, really, but I saw one like it. It was Royal Cochran, a friend of mine, an undertaker over there.
Well, how much area does that book cover?
Willamette Valley, I think.
Willamette Valley. You call this Willamette Valley?
Yeah, Willamette Valley, all the way from Portland to Eugene. I think they call that.
Somebody told me it was Willamette Valley.
Well, Willamette Valley, right here is Willamette Valley. Yeah. Willamette Valley is a whole.
It's
part of Willamette Valley, yeah.
Part of Willamette Valley. What big families were around here?
Well, there were the Galbraiths.
Yeah. Now, how many people were left from them? I got to go talk to them.
Talk to Joe, yeah. I don't think there's no Galbraiths left. I don't think they're all dead.
There was a big family at one time?
Yeah, a real big family. They were the biggest and the oldest.
You remember the Mormon family?
Oh, they were Mormon boys? Yeah, yeah. The little bachelors. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
They were interesting.
And Joe Galbraith will tell you all about them, too, because Joe's father rented them a piece. For years and years, I just for very little enough because he liked them and he was
down. Yeah. That was a big family because there were three of those brothers.
I remember Keith and Carl.
I guess there was another one in there somehow. And I know they used to live over on Haas place. That was their homestead, I think.
I don't remember that one.
But they were probably. I don't know if they were Indians or not. I don't know.
Yeah, they were Mormons?
Yeah.
The two old Mormon boys, as I say, Joe Galbraith's father rented them a piece of land for years and years until they died. He's about.
Oh, they rented it from Galbraith?
John Galbraith, yeah.
Do you remember Joe?
Old Joe? That's Joe's granddad?
Is that who it was?
Old Joe, yeah.
Yeah. You don't remember? He passed away before.
Oh, no, I used to go fishing with him all the time.
Joe?
Old Joe, yeah.
Did he ever tell you any old stories?
Oh, God, he kind of
did. Anybody knew he should
have. I can't remember. I remember the first time when I was just a little kid. I wanted to go fishing with Granddad Joe. And two fish that had carved out of the brush down here in the Scott place.
Uh-huh.
And Saturday, I'm going down, and old Joe got with somebody. He says, if I get there before you do, he says, I'll make a mark across the trail. If you get there before I do, if you get there before I do, you rub it out. I never could figure that out. He says, if I get there before you do, I'll mark. Draw a line across the trail. If you get there first, you rub it out. Oh, God. I sat there on a riverbank and fishing with Grandpa Joe, and I can't remember the stories he told me. He sure told a lot of them. He was a storyteller, Joe's grandfather.
I bet people had to be back there just to keep themselves occupied.
And it'd be interesting to talk to Joe, though. I learned about old Bristol and Joe Galbraith.
Yeah.
Was old Herman Schmidt an old timer here too then?
He's born here, yeah. That was as well as the Schmidts down here too, there.
Are you related with anybody? Interrelated with anybody?
I was related to Raymond Galbraith. Raymond Galbraith's wife and my mother were sisters.
I see.
And it has the
old one. The Hesses and the Galbraiths and the...
Well, this one, Raymond Galbraith, yeah. We were, his wife and my mother were sisters. That was Raymond Galbraith.
And
I guess you say might say it all. They were, well, yeah, I guess they were by marriage.
Uh-huh. Any other big families you remember? today.
Oh, what is that? I said, you know, Walgreens.
Did you ever ride a horse when you were a kid?
Well, one time I rode a horse. John Job, that Jewel's brother, had one, and I never rode a horse. They put me on him, and I wasn't looking for a thistle under his tail.
Oh. Never ridden a horse before?
I said this on his over the years in the barn, I went so high. I never got on a horse again for a long time. I know there was, I think it was Joe's, I know it was Joe or Joe's sister Anna that stuck the thistle under his tail. It was one of them.
Yeah, that's really good. I can't say I've ever ridden a horse. I've ridden one that's headed for the granary, and I couldn't get it turned around. That was it.
Yeah.
But you think it rained more out here in those days?
Oh, it seems
or
to me it did, yeah.
Did it just seem that way?
It seemed to me it did. It started in September and rained quite a bit for all the way through, yeah. You know?
What about summer? Did it get hot then?
Yeah, we did some hot summer.
Yeah. Remember there were some strong storms?
Thunderstorms.
Yeah. Thunderstorms? What do you remember about thunderstorms? Was that a regular thing?
Oh, in the summertime we had heat, you know, they call it heat storms in there.
I don't know. Like the one.
Yeah, in the summer there were a lot of.
Could you see them go up the Columbia River, the clouds? Seems like, you know, my dad was saying that they sort of followed the Columbia River back, because that was when he was a kid, you know, it was 20 years ago.
Yeah,
it was.
Well,
it seems to me like it was a lot hotter in the winter. There was more snow.
A lot of times now you'll see a storm. It will follow the Willamette River, you can see that it's raining over that way, not here.
Mm-hmm. Is it true that the Chehalem Mountain, the Parrot Mountain, sort of channel weather off?
I imagine more or less it does. Yeah, probably it's more and more protected.
Because it comes from the southwest, and you got these mountains that sort of protect us just a little bit more.
God, yeah, I spent many, many hours on the fishing bank with old Dad Joe.
Yeah, I wish you could remember some of those stories. I bet that was. Boy, I wonder how old he was at that time.
I don't know how old Granddad Joe was when he died.
Because he was the one that told about the. He claimed him down the Sherwood, got his name from Charlie Sherwood. That 1904, but I don't know. I still got to check
that out. Joe Gallup might remember that now. You can check with Joe. He would probably know.
How old is he now?
2 or 3 years older than me.
I'm going to have to get around to him.
He talked to his daughter the last time. Yeah.
So there were, you said you remember a little bit about the gypsies over here in Langer's Grove.
Yeah.
They stopped by very
often. Stop at Jurgens Park and camp all over there.
Yeah. Your mother remembers the Indians?
Grandmother.
Grandmother?
Yeah.
What
about the first Negro you saw?
They paved this road, the dirt road, they paved it.
Yeah.
And my sister and I were we just started grade school. And this old Negro, they all used the outside outhouse, you know, that's all they had in those days.
Yeah.
First Negro we ever saw. He was in the second outhouse one time. I remember sneaking around looking at it. First time we saw a Negro, you know.
Yeah.
He caught looking at it. We sat in our front yard in front of the trees to eat their lunch, you know. He called over to give us each a banana and orange. Every day from that time, that old Negro made us an orange and banana.
You thought that's what they did? What did you say about that? I didn't quite catch your sentence.
Well, I say after that, every day he'd make an orange and a banana in his lunch. We never saw a nigger before.
We'd never seen
him. Oh, you were sitting there staring at him and he would have made friends with you.
Yeah, he made friends with him. Yeah.
And he was helping build a road out here?
This highway right here, yeah.
When did that happen? About
1926. Oh, let's see. I wasn't very, I was like, well, it was 25 or 24, 25. And we were just, I don't think, I was 4 or 5 years old. I think it was about grade school. It must have been 1923 or 4.
Now, I don't suppose there were any other types of people, you know, like racial types like gypsies or Indians. You don't remember any Indians?
No.
Gypsies, what did they do when they came down? Did they have caravans like you hear about? They have horses?
Yeah.
And they had wagons that had designs on them?
Yeah, they had little gypsy wagons. Yeah, I mean, that's real with them.
And
just be traveling through.
Yeah. It camped in groves around the castle.
Remember anything about them, you know, any that stick out in your mind?
No,
there's still a lot of them around. And they just come through here, what, on a, in the summer or all year round?
I don't remember. I remember going through with
them. Where were they coming from?
Just traveling through.
You'd see them, would you see them twice? Would you see them coming and going?
Well, I don't know if it'd be the same
pair or not.
You never see them, you never maybe pay too much attention to them to that extent, but.
Well, no, we're more like, it was always something you see them go through, but the difference.
You ever tell your fortune? Do you ever get approached by one and wanted to sell you something, or did you turn around and find your wallet gone?
I can remember what, no, I was too little.
Oh. And they'd come by, how long were the caravans?
Oh, God, I don't remember that either. All I can remember is the ditch caravan.
Were you afraid of them as a little kid, or were your folks tell you to stay away from them?
Yeah, see, people would. I remember Dad always locked up the onion house and selling all that when he was around.
Well, now, Sarah Gina said that they were the ones that were hiding up the trees waiting to steal the cattle, I think.
Well, that could be too, yeah, but I can remember my dad locking everything up. I remember one time there was a bunch of cats right along here someplace. They come and bum me. He'd give us some onions and spuds and carrots. And he thought that he was just going to look it over like he'd steal something. Well, that night he stretched just a fine wire that he tied it to the back of the ironing board and set on the back porch. About midnight, that ironing, they tripped on that wire, ironing board went down, the old man went out with a gun, started shooting in the air. I guess he was coming back all right.
Yeah. Oh, you know, when did you remember when this highway was being built?
That's when they paved it, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Dave said there was something about, they dug up, when they built this highway, they excavated for it, they dug up a coffin out here. Body.
I don't doubt that. Those old days, they were buried a lot of faces. I don't doubt that a bit.
Yeah. Because that seems to be an early memory of mine, is back that there was an Indian buried around here or something. Everybody, they found around about 30 years or something like that.
Yeah. Well, on our old place, that is what they, a bunch of rock mounds, they claimed those were Indian graves.
Oh, yeah.
And Jim Fulton said right up here where the lodge is that there's there used to be an old Indian camp that there's fine arrowheads there to beat the bandits to this day, he said, or something.
Up the hill?
Well, that old house on the old side. There's
arrowheads that just stick around there.
That's what he said, Jim Fulton said.
There's a lot of arrowheads.
That's what he said, yeah.
Yeah. In the
swamp, you dig them all the time.
Swamps everywhere. There must have been because that's where they do their hunting or something.
I imagine we'll see, I can remember plowing wire, or one way you turned up an arrowhead.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. Lots of them on the swamp. And around over at Sipole, there was thousands of them. Used to pick them up in the panel and throw them away. Now they'd be worth money.
Anybody tell you how they got there?
I mean, they didn't here before we were. Just not known the Indians were here.
Yeah, but so many arrowheads.
All over the country, yeah. Well, like I said, still find them on the swamp once in a while.
Oh, yeah, I bet they do, yeah. What was I going to ask you about? You don't remember Indians, though, yourself?
No, I don't remember Indians. Well, either I remember ones who used to live at Grand Round, used to come down to see Raymond, Uncle Raymond, actually, they would live at Grand Round.
Your uncle who?
Raymond Galbraith.
Oh, Raymond Galbraith?
Yeah. He was friends with this Indian from Grand Round.
Yeah.
They're still up there, old-time Indian, yeah, with his son.
They're still Indians there?
Yeah, they're team Indians now, you know.
Yeah, well, I guess this used to be a military road, and I guess the army would come from Vancouver and go down there and have their maneuvers just to impress the Indians.
I don't know.
Somebody told me this.
That might have been Davis's unit, might remember that, yeah.
You know, because there was some, you know, maybe about 20 years before your time, I suppose, maybe there was threat that they were going to rise again.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, they, you know, maybe they get... They'll be carried away at a powwow or something.
Got this picture. I never get tired of looking at this picture. My first grade in school.
Yeah.
I remember Dylan and I had a fight.
Have I seen that one?
Yeah, that's one you look.
Oh, this is, that's a little later in there.
Yeah. Well, this is an old time thrashing bee here. That's the thrashing, yeah. Pitching bundles. I done a lot of that. Pitching those bundles.
You did.
Yeah.
That really, suppose when, how old were you then? About 18, 16?
Oh, no, 14, yeah. I worked since I was
really?
15, 14, 15, bale hay and wet onions.
Yeah, boy, it looked like hard work down there in that onion field.
I wet onions and crawled a million miles for Joe Garber's father.
Did that ever get to you after a while, though? Did you ever get arthritis in your knees?
No, I was a kid, you never bundled.
Yeah.
Now, you always done open them by hand, but
how long was the work day?
Sometimes most time 10 hours.
10 hours. You get up in the morning and sun at daybreak.
Well, I don't.
How many days a week?
Oh, we always never worked on Sunday.
Never worked Sunday. Took Sunday off.
No, yeah. But Joe's father always paid a nickel hour more than anybody else. No, Cloud Borchers. That's Rich Borchers. You know Dick Borchers.
Yeah.
His father, I used to weed on. He always paid me 30 cents an hour. That was good money then.
Oh yeah.
House always, I always went up for Dick's dad, and he always paid me nickel hour more because I was always keep up ahead of anybody.
Yeah. Hey, so President Hoover even weeded onions around here one time.
Yeah. I was one of the few to keep up with Johnny Sergino. Johnny Sergino was one of the fastest, and I was one of the few to keep up with Johnny Sergino.
Yeah.
I couldn't quite keep up with him. I was almost on his fanny though. But not. Couldn't quite make up with him. He was just a little bit faster than anybody in the country. I was right on by him all the time.
They paid you by the hour? I mean, if you worked harder, I mean, would you get paid more?
No, they all paid the same, 25 cents an hour.
Seems like that wouldn't be too fair, would it? I mean, if you really were out there trying to really
well,
get down the end of the road.
When I worked for them, I was practically all family, you know.
Oh.
I was maybe the only one outsider hired. Like John Galvin, oh, maybe a couple, three working for him, and I'd be one of the few, and all the family. You know. All the girls and boys all work together those days.
And then at school, you go to school 9 months a year or something like that?
I don't remember what school. I don't know what thing it is now. I think that's school.
You did all this in a 3 month vacation. Of course, the ground would be flooded all the other time, wouldn't it?
Well, the winter would be flooded, yeah. Come on, Pierre.
You know, his mother passed away when he was 9.
Oh. And your
so
dad?
He was sort of.
Well, I'm out 11 or 12 while I messed around there a while. I think 13 or 14, I started back to that old house all by myself.
All by yourself?
Yeah. And Ralph Krause, he was kind of an orphan around there. He moved in with me. And then,
another orphan? You were a lot of kids around here?
Well, he wasn't an orphan. He didn't have much of a home, you know.
Yeah.
His mother didn't like him. His stepmother didn't like him. Him and I back to
the Well, didn't you have an uncle or something take you in? Or?
I lived that old house for a long time.
What did you do that school of yours?
Is that over here? No.
It's probably there.
I'm going to look at it.
This is all old time Sherwood people, but
what do you think of this law that's out now that the kids can't pick strawberries?
Don't bother me, I quit strawberries.
I suppose they go for weed and onions too, you know?
I think it's strictly for the birds.
Yeah.
Didn't hurt any of us to pick berries, it didn't hurt my kids.
A lot of kids, you know, like to make that a little bit of extra money, you
this
know.
This is it, it's
now this would be the most interesting picture that I don't know because
kids.
This is all Sherwood guys and my granddad and my dad, that was very, he was the youngest one of that bunch. Now, who the rest of these are, I don't know. But they're all old-time Sherwood men, every one of them.
Thinking maybe you could write out who they are.
Well, I don't know if I can find I think Francis's dad is there. That might even be some of your relation in that picture. Well, no,
my folks were pretty clannish. I know Sergio's, they didn't talk to too many people.
No, they were pretty much themselves. I know, they had their onion ground down there. And
they did own some at one time.
Oh, yeah, they had an onion ground. I sure would like to know who all these are, but it sure would anyway.
Yeah. No, if I could get the names of those people, I think maybe we could write a little bit of an article about that.
Francis Heston, no.
Where does he live?
Up on the hill back in Sherwood.
They said he's your cousin.
Yeah.
Now,
he'll give you a line of BS.
Yeah?
You're telling a lot of things, though.
I'm more interested in that than I am in facts.
Yeah,
well,
he
can tell you a lot of things like that.
He can tell you some stories. I'll tell you about it. Old Miles Hayes and Sherwood. See, he's a few years older than I am.
Yeah.
But he can tell you some pretty tall stories. If you want to hear some stories and jokes, well, he's got to tell them to you.
Yeah, that's what we'd like to hear.
I'll tell you about one time when the ribbon was putting that still, while they saw the smokehouse down below in the hazel brush with a big padlock on the door, you know, and all they thought that was a still, you know. And the old man opened the door, and when he stuck in, the old man shoved him in and locked him in, and that smoke bomb choked him to death and let him out.
Who did this?
My dad.
To who?
The revenue man.
Oh, they came around here quite all the time?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of moonshine around here.
Yeah.
Yes, you need that down.
And anyway, he liked even that smoke out. He'd been sputtering, the old man let him out. They didn't come back anymore for a while then.
Boy.
I thought he was going to come out and kill the old man. I was scared of hell.
Oh, man.
He's about half wandering in those days when he was young, you know.
Do you think old Sergino and old, what'd you say, some of those people, do you think they had a talent for brewing this stuff?
Well, I think they always made wine. And, yeah. Well, everybody made their own.
I bet they knew how to do that
brews,
in the old country, you know?
I don't know.
Because
everybody made, all of them, well, they still make wine and beer, I guess, all of them.
Yeah. Well, that's a going thing now.
Well, they did those days, too.
Yeah. You know, even my uncle, you know, he's had a bottle down there. He had one that was, say, 20 years. He was this sort of the godfather of my one daughter. When she got 21, we opened that wine bottle, and that was, that was horrible stuff.
There used to be Weckert's here. In fact, Solomon Weckert used to own the store in Sherwood before any of them. That's before my time.
Weckert now. They own the store.
Well, they own, yeah. Solomon Weckert's one of the biggest merchants in Sherwood. That was before my time. But Solomon Weckert, had one of the biggest steps before Carlson Church, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
One of his boys was quite a famous bootlegger.
Here right in
down,
Oregon?
Right down there on the place that her father bought the place. But,
and they chased him around and stuff?
Oh, yeah, it was after him all the time. He had right in the horse barn, he had a wooden floor in it. He had the, like when the horses stayed in the stall all the time, he had the steel underneath there. And if we wanted to get out, he'd come out, he'd move the horse shed aside and get in and Biggie's whiskey. But that hole was still there when he was there.
I don't know.
But that old barn?
The old barn's still there.
Yeah, well, that hole's still there.
That's where they built new ones.
And the hole's still there, maybe?
Well, not now.
No,
not now.
They put the barn down.
But he had
my dad built a new one.
He had a load of whiskey, and they caught him on the old, the Slavin Road. They caught him, and he run down in the run, and the revenuer shot him and killed him.
Is that right?
It was Royal Liquor.
Well,
old
George Anastas, is he an old one?
Not too old. That was one that could. He was a
Greek. Mm-hmm. How's that?
Old George Anastas was raised celery on the swamp there for a long time. He,
We got a Greek?
Yeah, he was a Greek. George Anastas, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Did he have a family?
No, he was all alone.
All by himself, Greek. That's come out from Portland.
Where are you coming from?
Did he talk with an accent too?
Oh yeah, he could probably talk about it.
Was that right?
He's hard to understand.
And when was this?
Huh?
When was this? How long was he there?
God, he was
there.
Died after World War II, didn't he?
Yeah, and he was there, oh Lord, years ago.
I remember he had an old Star motor irrigating.
He was there in the city you're talking about.
Irrigating his cellar and he said, God didn't give him gas, give him a spark, he got to go. I never will forget that, it wouldn't run. The guy that tell you about the old Greek would be Nelson Anderson, because he won't kind of adopt him there.
Well, and where Connie is here, Connie Nelson, that used to be Chinese. They won that from one of the Galbraiths at a poker game.
How is this again?
Well, I wouldn't print that.
Chinese,
no back.
Yeah, they were Chinese.
Yeah, old, you
there were Chinese settled here?
No.
They were.
Don Galbraith in the 30s was a young Don. Kind of went around, and he got in debt to the Chinaman, his Chinese gambling joints, and his father gave him that place to square the gambling debt.
They lived there for years.
That was Harold Fong. He had that beautiful place. He planted all the silvers there. That was Fong.
Because he lost it to him?
Well, they owed him money.
They owed it to him. Owed him some money, so they gave him some land.
Well, he did. Dad did square the kid up, you see.
Yeah.
To make it square so they wouldn't.
They stayed there how long?
They were there a lot of years.
What were they doing?
Well,
how did they get here in the first place? Were they on the railroad? Or?
Well, I guess they come to build a railroad originally, yeah.
Oh.
They know these guys in Portland come on the ships. Come from ships and cook from the restaurants. And they had their tall
Fong is still alive. That Fong, what do you call it, Fong?
Chinese grocery now. They put the Chinese.
And that's still important.
Oh yeah.
Close all the gunners. What does Fong Chong mean? The Fong is their family name. Chong is
Fong is
their
name.
Name.
I don't know what their Chong is.
Did they have keep a? Was this a family then?
Or just I don't know. I guess it's Tong. They call them Tongs, don't they?
Well, that was the Tong was a. Was
oh,
a,
that's a society.
Society.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, different out societies.
Out of San Francisco. I mean, you were.
Their Tong's important, lots of them.
Oh.
Still is. Still a Chinese Tong down there. I know
white
guys.
These people were part of that.
They were. Yeah, they're part of Fong Chong. That was Tong, I guess. Call them Tongs. I don't know, society or families or something.
This was a man and his wife.
A man and his wife. And they
they were
they
real
really
good neighbors.
Know.
Gee, they were, oh, they were good neighbors.
Uh-huh.
And they were so clean, and that place was,
yeah.
You couldn't find a paper or anything out of place.
Yeah, they really knew how to use every square inch of that land.
They didn't know
how to
They were good people, though.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, that's something I never heard of, those people.
Well, I'll tell you, there was a Chinaman, he was quite a character. But old Jim Chinaman, John Lee. John Lee, I think it was.
Yeah, he was related to these other people.
No, I guess he was kind of a loner of China. But I remember him when we were kids, he had an old Model T truck too, and he'd take the kids, we'd go crawfishing. All the Galveston kids and us, and old Jim would take the crawfishing. He lived more or less with John Galveston, you know. John Galveston was his favorite.
Sort of helped out in there.
He just was favorite, and he inherited a lot of money one time. He bought John Galveston, one of the big 1929 Studebaker Presidente, he gave it to him.
Well,
then he died, he left all his property to John.
John?
John Galveston, Joe's father, yeah.
Yeah.
Beats the property, and you'd have to ask Joe about that.
Chinaman left it to John Galveston?
Yeah.
And they all sort of came out somehow through Portland. You said they worked on the ships, maybe?
Well, I said, I suppose they came here on sailing ships.
Yeah.
I don't know where Jim, or the old Jim Chinaman comes in. Joe Galveston could tell. That'd be interesting to ask Joe about that.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a point to ask him about the old Jim Chinaman. He can tell him. He knows all about it now.
So there were at least three Chinamen that you know of that got along real well, didn't they?
Oh, Jim was, he was an old, I'd say he'd take all the kids, and all of them, lots of times we've been crawfishing together, taking crawfish in his old truck. But
mm-hmm.
He was more or less with them, but on Sundays once in a while we'd be over there and we'd be with them, you know. But Joe tell you about, he was quite, well, let me make a little story himself.
Yeah.
How old was those Japanese boys you was raised with? Now they're for old timers there.
Oh, yeah, well, that was in grade school.
Yeah.
Japanese here too?
Yeah, with the Tiger Wrecking Yard was.
You don't remember their name? Or?
Yaneyama.
Yeah.
Yoneyama.
Yanama?
They've been to see us just recently. One of us in Hawaii.
Yeah, Tosh came up from Hawaii. They come to see us.
He stopped.
Why did he go to Hawaii? Did he have relatives in Hawaii?
No, he went to the war, and I think he fought on our side, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he was a fireman. He was a fireman in Honolulu and retired there. Fireman retired now. He travels all over.
Got a big, beautiful home.
Looks like
a fireman. He got a good pension. Yeah.
Looks like a Haru Sasaki. Just exactly like a little battle rattler. He was here just about 6 months ago. He was there.
Well, his brother was here.
Still coming to see you.
No, yeah.
He went to Sackville School then.
He went to school with you?
Sackville Bridge School, yeah.
All right. Now but again, you mean that building that's on Cherogino's
Sackville
place?
Road now. No, that's
no.
The old one there on Sackville Road. With it.
Oh, you went to that school too?
Yeah, I was both of them. I finished up there. Well, I went to that old one over there at Sergino's place till about the fifth grade, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
Then I went to the other one. We moved to the new school.
Uh-huh.
Two-room school.
Did you ever eat crawfish?
Oh, God. I used to.
Still do.
Yeah?
I used to catch. When Johnny and Jim was working down there in the swamp, we eating onion, I'd be down and I'd get over there. Every day I'd get over there crawfish and warming. There one time at Johnny said, you know, he'd go along, he'd stick his hands in the hole with the crawfish there in the creek, and he'd pull a crawfish down.
Oh, my.
And one time, he recently got a hold of something and slick, and he didn't know what he took, but it was a big eel about,
oh
hell, 3 or 4 feet long. Biggest he would ever see, and he kept a pulling, and he'd give it a trick until it cut out the onion patch and watered down a big patch of onion. He tied it up in a string, and I took it home and kept the tub for 2 or 3 days. The biggest eel I ever saw.
Oh, my gosh.
And John, he thought he had a snake, a water snake in there.
Oh. Know.
He kept a pulling, he found out what he threw the hell in the jerk, threw the crab onion fast.
He reached down there and grabbed these crawfish?
Yeah, the crawfish, the hole, he would find a hole, pull them out.
How big were the crawfish?
Oh, God, there were gibbons in there then. Really big. Oh, we mentioned them. Yeah. Right down in Rock Creek and stuff.
Yeah. Apparently, I used to fish them out of there. I never cared to touch them or anything. Never thought of eating them.
Johnny'd reach in the holes, he'd pull them out and throw them out the back to me.
Yeah.
Jim wouldn't, but Johnny was always reaching.
You worry about getting pinched?
Doesn't bother him anymore.
Did you ever eat them?
No, I never eaten crawfish.
Well, forever since.
God, come around this summer. I eat crawfish all the time in the summer. And
I may do that.
Mama Klein and us, a bunch of fish on that front porch right there, and eat 15 gallons one night.
What, beer and crawfish? That'd be good. Are they, do they sort of taste like prawns?
In a way, it's like shrimp steaks, yeah.
Well, how do you fix those crawfish, though?
Just boil them.
Just boil them and that's it?
Yeah, just boil them in salt water. I put spices in them, and I put onion and garlic in them, too. Just break the garlic in whole, not peel them. No need to go peel them, you get quite a flavor. But
now they're...
That can't sit down.
You got our speaker
so
here.
So we can hear you.
Oh, we can hear you anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
But, you think most people around here just, that was just sort of a regular meal?
Well, everybody had to eat crawfish around here, yeah. They used to have crawfish parties, too.
Oh?
My dad had a big 50-gallon iron kettle down there. He'd have catch crawfish. They'd have crawfish feeds all of them.
And they catch a lot of crawfish?
Yeah, 150, 200, 300 dozen they cook.
I'll be darned. Sounds like a tradition from down south.
I go over here at Vernonia now all the time. And back to Vernonia, catch mine.
Oh, and you see, and you bring them back here, you have 50 or so, and you...
Oh, no, 50, 60 dozen.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
You get up here with all...
Two or three 5 gallon
mom and Pop Klein and...
Yeah, we love here and sit there and eat crawfish. Well, I cooked them all last year, and I took them over there. I had the bar full of crawfish a dozen different times. I took them over, big 5 gallon buckets full. And everybody,
I missed that again.
That was last year. Oh. Well, over the last 10 years, I've been doing it every year.
They just laid the bar full of newspapers and.
Well, I don't know about that next time you do it, because I've never tasted one.
All free.
I do it all the time when.
You get them up in Vernonia now. You got to go that far away.
Just about. Yeah, to get any. Well, I. That's where I go all the time. They're coming back into creeks around here now, so.
Yeah. Mary, I used to catch them down here, but you know there were never that many. Maybe I just didn't know how to look for them.
Yeah, I got 3 5 gallon buckets full the last time I was over there. Nice big ones.
You used to catch a lot of trout out of here. You ever catch anything else?
There's another creek there, and all kinds of trout in the little creek, yeah.
Yeah. You ever catch a salmon?
Not here.
I don't know much about fishing, obviously.
No, we never caught any salmon around here.
You ever see much wildlife? Ever see a fox? Ever see a wolf?
Oh, a lot of foxes, yeah. Yeah. Foxes around here, yeah. But they used to have fox hunts all the time around here. Tyson McCall and them.
What did they do? I mean, they get together with dogs?
Hounds, yeah, he had hounds.
Huh?
Jesus.
And you go fox hunting out here, right? Through the woods?
I never did.
Real and Dale, like you say?
I never did do that, no. I went with them one time and I got tired and got drunk, I think. Set out under a tree.
Yeah, couldn't keep up with the dogs?
I never tried, no. Clarence McConnell was a fox hunter. He's an old timer around here.
Clarence McConnell, yeah, I've heard that name. Is he still alive?
No, he's not.
That you never hear, you never saw, did you ever see any deer, elk, anything like that?
Well, my elk ever saw around here, right up here at the lodge. This last year, there was 5 in that field right across the lodge.
Right from the elk lodge, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, they right across that field there.
Yeah, but not late, but you didn't see those when you were a kid.
No, there wasn't many deer. Deer was was an oddity here in those days.
Uh-huh.
There used to be one down there on the, or two at my dad's place when I was a little kid, and you know, everybody in the country hunted that deer for 10 years. My dad, and one time he come home, he said he got him, but he killed a stray goat, but he killed a deer. He told everybody, you can't tell us, a young goat roasted from a deer, though.
Oh.
That's what they say.
So that's when he had his party on the mountain?
Yeah, they roasted him, Oh.
So he told everybody about the deer that he killed, and more fun over the goat.
Goat, yeah. I don't know, damn few people ever knew the difference.
They were that rare, or no, the things like bear?
They were very rare around here in those days, yeah.
Coyote?
No, I don't remember coyotes either. There was a muskrat and mink and stuff. I mean, there was possum in this country though.
There were possum here?
Never were.
No.
Never were down here until some guy bought one from Arkansas.
Yeah. Lowell LeBond, you know him?
Art?
Lowell.
I know Art.
He's got a bumper sticker. He made it himself. He says, eat more possum. I was talking to him about it the other day. He says that, he said very soberly, he says the automobiles are the only predator of a possum, you know.
Yeah.
he had a real spiel, you know.
I caught a little one up here 2 years ago. That old fish, he's about this long, about that. I like a little mouse. Remember I did that little bartender over here? He kept me by the night already.
Yeah.
Well, he was a fighting little son of a gun. He'd bite right out. I'd put leather glove on and get him.
Yeah, they survived. Chinese pheasant now.
There used to be lots of them, but they're not pretty rare now.
They were imported.
They claim that the Chinese pheasant, the fox, got rid of them. Then during World War II, nobody hunted fox or trap or nothing.
Oh,
you know?
Fox got them.
Fox got most of them. Yeah. There's a few around now. They're dead. Very, very rare though.
Well, they used to have goldfish. But evidently somebody's dumped them out. I was down here in this ditch that feeds off of the most rock creek there. And they grew up and they're as big as...
Goldfish?
Goldfish.
Stabbed one weighed 5 pounds one time.
When did you
do? About 10, 12 years old. I used to clean out rock creek here with the onion man every year.
Oh, I see.
And I got him out. I saw that
goldfish.
Yeah, about this long.
About a foot.
No carp either, goldfish.
About 4 or 5 pounds, yeah.
Wait.
They say the Tuolumne River,
they'll
how they
get,
this,
loose,
they get just as big as carp. They used to carp.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I don't think I cared to swallow a goldfish that was
that big. Not that big,
What a buffalo.
Well, that was any other stories you remember, right?
I don't know. You want to hear stories about you. Francis Hess, the guy to see.
I have to see him.
Who's that old guy that Francis always talking about? Quite a character. Oh, Flabbitich.
How'd that go?
Flabbitich was his name.
Flabbitich?
Flabbitich, yeah.
That was his real name?
Yeah, that's his name. That's the name of Flabbitich. Get Francis, that's wound up on him. He'll tell you stories. He didn't really tell you stories.
Francis is quite a bit older. He can tell a lot of stories.
But he'll tell you stories. He'll sit and listen to him for hours, you know.
Yeah.
I can't.
He's a little older than me.
There's not many people like that anymore. You know, we're so used to just watching it.
Now, some
on
of,
the
some
TV
of,
set when they...
Some of it might be fact, some of it might be fiction, but it's all make all good telling.
No, I'm not. I don't really care whether it's true or not. Well, I'd like to hear more stories about how Sherwood got the name Sherwood, because nobody is absolutely certain.
Yeah. Well, you see Francis, he'll have his version of it. You better look at it.
He's
about to know though, buddy. Yeah, he's about to, let's see, Ed Meineke is about the oldest one left. Oh, Dave Sargino, yeah. But Dave never hung around drinking much too much.
Although he did take care of that tavern there at the dance hall, or the dance hall itself, not a tavern. But
Johnny Sargino, Johnny must be getting close to 70 now. He can tell you a lot of stories too.
How old is Ed Meineke?
Got hit
70. Well, I think all the people that have passed on, you know.
Oh, that's the way with us.
Boy, the stuff that they could have told.
But Francis Hess can tell you some tall stories now if you want to hear some. Get him wound up. But I'm the only one we've met all our lives. He still tells stories that I don't remember, you know, once in a while.
Yeah, no, I never remember a story once I've heard it.
But if you want to talk about it, you can take that picture with you. Here's what you want to see, I think.
Yeah. I'd like to have everybody identified.
And I think that he could identify most of them.
Well, Francis could take
it. I just want to put my name in the damn sure I get it back.
No, don't put it right in the middle. Put it up on the edge or it'll bleed through.
If they put it in paper, it'd
be nice to know, you know, there's still quite a few
now,
living
Francis, relatives. Now, Francis, if he think if that picture, he'll try to abscond with it, but that'd just be, you know, just a joke, you know, but...
Here.
And he could probably name most of those guys. Imagine one of them might be his dad.
Yeah.
They're all old Sherwood old timers.
Now Francis Hess was being a cousin would be your dad and his dad would be brothers.
Right.
Obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
What was his dad's name?
Jasper.
Jasper? Another name, where'd you get a name like Jasper?
Well, yeah, I know.
Like I was asking Mrs. Schmidt, or sometime some years ago, I was trying to figure out why they named their son Romer. She said she'd never been asked that before.
I remember Romer Benton, yeah, Roman Allen, yeah. Real well, yeah.
I guess it turned out that that was the romantic lead on the soap operas or something.
I don't know.
Well,
or she read the name. She read the name in a paper. Somebody named Romer had read an article. You know, about
that's probably
that
old Shakespeare.
Born,
old Shakespeare.
What a nice name. Huh?
Probably old Shakespeare.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought people were movie stars having kids on a family name.
This is all our family here. Oh, there's. I'll bet that's Tom Hess. He died in the same. That's Wolf. There, yeah. He died in the insane asylum. He got ticked about the Catholics too much. He went down and rode his horse down in front of that old house I lived in and did his six shooters right into the house. They took him to. Now this is a more recent picture here. This is a.
You got mad at the Catholics?
Something like that. Yeah. I don't remember what it was exactly. It was something anyway.
Well, he must have been riled.
I guess he was. Well, this is all our family, yeah. Francis' brother, that's Jasper, and that's Walt, and that's Hiram, well, that's Dick, yeah. That's old man Duffield. Granddad Duffield. Yeah, well, show that picture of Francis. He probably identified a lot of those guys.
Well, it sounds like he came from a real hard-working family, and they knew how to enjoy themselves with little time they had left over.
Well, most of them had money, but my dad and Francis' dad never had any money. Most of them had money.
They didn't need it in those
Francis
days, really.
Francis' father died real young.
Oh.
He died of a big heart attack.
What'd your dad die young?
You know, 82.
Oh, 82.
He had cancer at 82.
You were 11 years old and your dad was 82?
No. He just died.
Oh.
66.
Oh.
He died.
Oh, I guess your mother died or something.
She died in 1929.
Yeah. Well, I told the folks I'd be back at 5:30.
Yeah, talk to Joe Galbraith and talk to Francis. Because I think Joe Galbraith can tell you about anything Johnny Sergino could. Johnny, uh-huh. Johnny might remember more than Joe did, but that's Dave's brother, Johnny.
Uh-huh.
He would remember more of the later, a lot. He'd remember a lot, Johnny.
Did you ever get into the logging? Did you ever do much lumber?
Me? Oh, I worked up for 5 years in Valsets, and I was logged for a long time.
You get out there with a
crosscut saw.
Crosscut saw. And how long did it take you to cut a tree down?
Oh, we'd fall 50,000 a day, 100,000.
Were those big trees?
I didn't know.
Oh, no, I don't know where they are.
I got some pictures I can show you.
How big were the trees?
Oh, 6 foot through.
Not a one around anymore.
No.
You want those big pictures out, Helen?
No, I don't.
Did a pretty thorough job. When did you get those back? Well, that's what we just done recently. A
couple weeks ago.
Well, they do good work on them. What do we got here? Is that Portland?
That's Portland, 1927, Rose Festival.
Wow, boy. 1927.
And these were pictures we saw in the Lane County Museum. This old war I mentioned. So I logged all my practice as a little kid.
What'd you do with that picture of the horse cars in that old store?
Would you say Sherwood? I know you went up to Vernonia to get your crawfish now. Would you say Sherwood reminds you a little bit of Vernonia? Except for a difference in 50 years.
A little bigger town. Yeah.
Would you call Sherwood a logging community?
No farming. No,
mostly farming.
These were just a little before my time. 1915. But the sawmills, when I worked, there were a lot like this, see.
Uh-huh. Where was this sawmill?
These are all around Eugene.
Yeah, that's where they always got it, where the girl is tied to that.
Yeah, Harold Pauline.
There's the old walking picture.
I see, but what'd you do with that picture of that old store?
Well, that's I'm getting that blown up, getting the base up out of it.
Which store is that?
Oh, it's a store in Eugene, all horse collars and saddles and stuff like that. Here,
sure.
Here's something.
My father raised loganberries.
Oh.
And that's, you know, that picture was...
Those are raspberries. They were, oh, no, yeah. That was good. They used to have a loganberry field down here below the hill.
Yeah. Here's one always interested me, too.
It was either Logan or Boysenberries. Oh, that's a cute picture.
I got a picture of me, something with my dog, my little old bib over, I was about 8 years old, my dog. I couldn't find that picture. These friends of mine had these blowed up, and he had something for me. These are all out of Eugene's. I worked in Eugene a long time today.
No, that's an old logging train here?
Oh,
shit. That's a huge train.
Oh, shit, yeah. Here's one of those.
What are you going to do with these?
Oh, I really don't know. I have them. They cost me quite a bit. I don't know what I've got them for. I just wanted them. That was it. Here, I've done this a lot. Put our old springboard for many a day.
They put a springboard. What is it? Yeah,
springboard. You just chop the hose through it. See, all the timber down there. And you get above the brush, above the timber line.
Well, they're two separate pieces of wood, aren't they?
Yeah. It's a piece of wood, 2x6, with a lip on it, a lip of iron.
Oh, there they are cutting down a big 6-foot tree.
Yeah. I chopped like that many a day.
How long would it take? You'd work with another guy on the other side?
Two guys. Oh, we can chop that undercut and fall that 6-foot tree in an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Boy, you were really swinging, though. Well, I bet you kept your axes sharp.
We shaved with them.
Yeah. You always you can play an act right where you took an eye and it took coordination to do that.
Yeah,
you want to hit the other guy.
You pull your back and it just come. You work with a guy just 3-4 weeks, just come out of man.
You know, yeah, it'll take you a couple of weeks to. If you work with somebody you didn't know, you might get tangled up.
Two gone.
Those pictures were taken around Eugene or something.
Yeah, that's old Pioneer Museum. We have them blown up.
They never ship many logs out of here? Just firewood?
Just firewood. You should load the cordwood over the sack hole up on that.
They used to load these, they'd yard it along these roads here, and they'd pick it up all at one time. You remember them doing that?
It was like hauled in the Portland.
Yeah, because all of Portland was heated by the wood. That's probably one reason for the railroad.
I can remember my dad cut pulpwood, cordwood for the Holly Pulp paper coming on the kid off the old home place. My granddad said he cut 30,000 to 40,000 cords there one year. There about 15, 20 guys cutting wood.
Wow.
Yeah, these stuff, I think they were cutting $4 a piece.
Oh, I bet every bit of
it. $4 a piece was all that little bit like that. Which is
they can really do a good job, you know. And I bet the original pictures weren't as plain as that. You give them a tint, you know, it's slightly...
Oh, I'll watch some what I'll do with you someday. Somebody will be interested in it.
Yeah.
And then we'll just set it there. Be nice for a camera.
Oh, well, I'll think, you know, I got use for them. I'll think of something.
Oh
yeah,
it should be on the wall of the tavern.
Yeah, I think so. Like you paint a big picture or something like that.
I got this more big blowed up too.
Well, they've got these things. They got it hooked up now, so you can actually take a photograph like that and
blow it up,
project it right on the wall, and just right come along and just paint it on real easy.
Well, these are the ones that intrigue me most here. With these. The city's old log it up. It's a springboard. That I know real well.
Yeah. You did a lot of that then.
I've done a lot of that.
Did you ever go up and top a tree?
Once or twice.
Is there a danger there that the tree will split on you?
No, not if you cut a deep undercut. No. No, you cut a deep undercut in it and know which way you're going to fall. That's no danger. It sways when it goes off, but it don't.
How high were you up?
90 feet.
90 feet. Needs there. Where'd you do this stuff at?
Valsetts, and one where I, it's down in Eugene, where I topped the trees.
Mm-hmm. You do that when you weren't involved in onions? Where'd you find the time?
That was after I quit weeding onions, yeah.
Oh.
After
I grew it up.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Then you went down there and you got involved in that.
I was all over that.
Uh-huh. You never got over to Eastern Oregon?
Yeah, I worked over at Pine Country a lot, yeah. Worked at Inyo, California. Worked at Bishop, California. Worked at McLeod River Lumber Company, California. I worked at Beaver, California, when it was 18 below zero.
Volunteer. You got your cutting, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Your breath would fall and your eyes would breath and your coat, your Mackinac, you take and bust the eye off of it and get so heavy that you have to bust it off and then again there goes your breath.
Reminds me of that old song about the frozen logger. I think that one came out of you. Remember that song?
Yeah. He don't know much about me, but yeah.
Started
his coffee
with his... Yeah, the waitress is waiting around for his logger to come in. Somebody come in and stir the coffee with his thumb, because then she had a logger.
There used to be a sign of reference. It says that Newey was a logger, not a common bum.
That's it. Yeah.
Nobody but a logger stirs his coffee with his thumb. Right. Yeah, that's what you're thinking about.
There's something about he kissed her when he parted so hard it broke her jaw. Could not speak to tell him. He forgot his Mackinaw and he went out in the freezing weather.
They won't pay me.
Yeah.
Did you tell many Paul Bunyan stories out there? Did you ever hear of him?
Oh, well, I used to tell. We used to tell tall stories of our own.
Yeah.
When we used to work in the woods, we'd sit down and eat our lunch. We'd tell how many women we had in town. And we'd get in town, we'd all sit in the bar and tell them how much timber we could fall. After the logger. He done his chasing in the woods and he logged in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived in the old bunkhouse there at Val Sets and Glenbrook. And when the Pope and Talbot moved to Oak Ridge, I went down there to stay in the Kitten Springs. Stayed right there in the resort, falling timber down there. Yeah, I fell timber all over the country. The old hand briar.
You ever do any of it out here?
Oh yeah,
you ever help them out here?
George Bellamy and I cut 8-foot logs all around here for 4 or 5 years.
8-foot logs?
Yeah.
8-foot diameter?
8-foot long.
All some length.
Yeah, we cut them all sizes. We go over here in the whole long part of the place. We cut there for 2 years. We cut over North Plains, and down here on the Scott Place. Cut all over.
Was the Beaver Dam pretty well cleared off when you got here?
Well, it was cleared off from
all the time. You never had to clear off any Beaver Dam?
No. I went down to Twala, just went by the cemetery there. I helped an old guy with an old horse-drawn stump pull up, about 14 years old, pull stumps. What the hell was his name, that old guy down there?
Do you get a lot of dynamite?
I blow stumps right now, yeah.
Yeah.
I blowed stumps here just 2 years ago for Bob Gray down there on Bull Mountain.
What did he have, one or two on the place or something?
Oh, no, he had about 30 acres we cleared.
Just recently, the last 2 years?
Oh, how long ago? 10 years ago? 8 years ago?
Oh, it hasn't been that long.
I didn't know they still did it with dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember them using dynamite about 25 years ago.
I thought this here just a few years ago.
Yeah. I always thought they used tractors with chains or something. Or
no, you blow them first.
Oh.
Yeah, I can take a stump.
I bet those things are deep-rooted, aren't they?
No, a fir tree don't have a taproot.
Oh.
They go this way.
Oh. Unless they're by themselves, I bet. Though.
Very few have the taproot.
Yeah.
But you want to blow a stump, you dig under your stump and get right into the middle of the stump and get your dynamite right against the stump and pack it in tight and you can just split them right there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I like the mess with powder.
Yeah? Was it the black powder that you used? Wasn't that dangerous?
Stumping powder, yeah. Did the stump stick.
That's for the heck of a headache.
Do you ever hear of any accidents with that stuff? What do you mean it gave you a headache?
I've got a powder headache, yeah.
Yeah?
Powder headache gives me a headache.
That was a common thing?
Oh yeah. Smell of powder. Yeah, it blows everything just a few years ago.
Yeah, did you ever hear of anybody getting really messed up with it?
Yeah, one. I was blowed up, remember that? Across the swamp, they blew him all to pieces.
Who was that?
Oh, that's been quite a while now. Sarah Jean doesn't know that, too, because I think he was working for one of them.
Oh, yeah. There was one story about a guy who blew his arm off. And tried
this guy blew it all to pieces.
Well, I first started messing with powder with Val Setz. We had electric caps, you know.
Yeah.
And this powder bug would blow a... By the time you got a log, you'd blow a hole on the side of the thick diameter and blow it to get your choker through.
Mm-hmm.
This powder monkey went off down through the canyon on the run with a load of powder, and all of a sudden this whole stack of powder blew up and never found one piece of his shoe over the ground. He made a mistake. He was had a half a hanger, and he threw his battery in with his, he didn't hit him with a flashlight battery, you know.
Yeah.
And he put it in with his powder, and he, he rolled over a log, and it went off. Boy, it just completely disintegrated.
Well, this wasn't nitroglycerin or anything.
No, I just stuffing powder. 20% powder stuffing.
Was it temperamental, like nitro? You came from the Burke family, and your sister is over here at the grocery store.
Well, then I have a sister, Nadine and Dale Friend.
Friend? Or is that an old name around here?
No, not here. No.
You came out here in 1936, your family did?
It was 35.
35.
Up here. We moved to here and moved to Oregon in 30.
1930? Mm-hmm. And where'd you settle?
Medford. We were down there around Medford for many years.
Where'd you come from to come
there? Nebraska.
Well, you came from Nebraska, and what year was that?
Well, that's what I was trying to think. Because it was...
You remember coming from Nebraska?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then you stayed a little while in Medford, and then you came over here and...
Moved up on the Wickard place here in about 35.
Wickard. In 35. Now, is that onion swamp over there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I heard you talk about that. And...
They didn't raise onion. My dad raised pole beans.
Pole beans. I remember pole beans.
Everybody around the country used to pick for you.
Yeah. That was a hot old job.
Yeah, it was.
Anything going on down there?
Yeah, it was.
Now, is this, you own that on this side of the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you probably had, Mr. Saragino said there were about 12 people that had property down there.
Right.
A lot of owners in that little part of the land.
Well, see, Bud's dad now owned the other side of the road. You know where the Tigard Wrecking Yard is?
Yeah.
All of that? Well, they owned the whole... side that way.
Now this is Bud Hess, and his father owned all that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know whether his father owned it all or not. He can tell you all about that, but his father owned an awful big strip in there.
Uh-huh. And I know I was looking through some of the old Sherwood history, and there's a Hess name that turns up there that came out about 1840.
I've got that book. That's what I was going to tell you. That book is all full of old servers here in Oregon.
Oh, you do? Who wrote that?
It's the, I hate to get changed then, but we got it after Bud's dad passed away.
Fred Hess. When did he pass away? Do you have one? About 1940, something like that.
That's that in there. No.
That's a real rugged looking book.
Yeah.
There.
The,
History of Oregon, Illustrated.
10 Pictures of the Garden of the World. See, this is all names of all Oregon settlers.
Now, is the Hess name in that?
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
show you.
Okay, you got this old book here. It's got more than 1,000 pages in it. Almost more than 13,000 pages. There was only 14 copies of it. And all the pages are all brown on the edges. And you're on page 1104. You got Andrew Jackson Hess. Now, apparently he was born in the year that Andy Jackson was president.
I don't really know. See, I don't know too much.
Native son, 1846. That would put him about Andrew Jackson, I think. His father's donation claim was near the town of Newburgh. His father, Joseph Hess, was born in Arkansas in 1812. Maybe that's where the Andy Jackson name came in. Might have fought in the War of 1812 with Andy Jackson. And he was of German ancestry. And he went through Arkansas. Now, I know my folks went through Arkansas, and they were Germans, too. And of course, that was sometime after.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of Germans out here.
A lot of them.
I'm wondering if there's some connection there as to why he came out here. And he crossed the plains in 1843, first wagon train of immigrants. He brought with him his wife and five children, two boys and three girls. This was the first wagon train, and it had to come through, so they had to make their own roads. arrived at the Dalles short of provisions. Mr. Hess, Andy Jackson Hess came on to Oregon City and got some supplies and then went back and helped them get into the valley. His wife's name was Mary Keyser, born in Arkansas. And they settled, the Keyser family settled in the Chelan Valley where there were still plenty of Indians. Sidney Smith, George Nelson, and Mr. Hess, they all settled there and they had their choice of the whole valley, the whole Chelan Valley. And when gold was discovered in California, he went there and remained a whole summer, and then he returned to his family and brought some gold with him. He was always industrious and enterprising. The book says here he was as brave as he was industrious. And he raised cattle, then went to the Idaho mines in 1861. That was a hard winter for stockmen, it says, and they lost 500 head of cattle and 300 head of horses. They had not been in the habit of feeding the stock in the winter, and the deep snow came, and large numbers of animals died all over the valley. In 1870, he went to California and stayed there for a while, and then finally came back to Jackson County, Oregon. And it says here he was either killed by accident or he was murdered. Said that he was chopping on a tree with another man and was hit with the other man's axe. And at the time of this book, his widow was still alive, living on the old donation claim. He had a family of 13 children, 6 daughters and 7 sons, and they're all alive and well at this time this book was written. They live in Idaho, California, and Oregon. Mr. Hess, who is the subject of this sketch, was the 7th child. He was reared on a farm and attended the district school in the winter. At the age of 20, in 1866, married Miss Rebecca Matilda Heater, born in Iowa, who was the daughter of Lorenzo Dow Heater, pioneer of 1854 and a resident of Marion County. Mr. Hess, his father, gave him 100 acres of land, and it says here where he has since resided, 2.5 miles northeast of Sherwood in Washington County. Mr. Hess improved his land to general farming, and by close attention to business, he added to the farm 200 acres more. He says he's now making money raising onions on his beaver dam land. He and his wife had 10 children, James Walter, Thomas Marion, Joshua E., Mary, Elizabeth, Emma S., who died in her second year diphtheria. And then there was Hiram Jackson, Nellie, Frederick, Laura, and Alice. And it goes on and says Mr. Hess is a Democrat, but he won't run for office because he likes to stick to himself. He has, however, served as road supervisor and school director. In addition to his home farm, he has 160 acres of land on the headwaters of Salmon River in East Oregon. And then the final sentence is, he is a reliable and respected citizen of the county in which he was born and has always resided. Now, how many people are written up in here?
Oh, it starts.
1893, printed in Portland, Oregon.
See, this is all history of the coming out here through, mm-hmm. through the first year. It tells the Indians and all this, and back here ways it starts in, there's the Olds family and the Rowells and See, they're not in alphabetical order.
Oh, you gotta sort of
know
where they're at.
Yeah,
sort of
gotta know where they're at.
You even got photographs. 1892 is when my post came out.
Oh, really?
Real
yeah, there's some pictures in there. Mr. Rowell just brought it back. In fact, Amy got the history book over there at Shoals.
Uh-huh. Is the librarian seen that?
No, I don't think. There he is now.
Now, how are you related to the people in this now? I just read this thing on Andrew Jackson Hess.
That was my granddad.
That was your granddad?
Yeah.
Is your name in this book?
No, my father would be, though.
What was his? Who was he?
Fred was his name.
Frederick.
No, just Fred, plain Fred.
Oh, they got a Frederick here.
Yeah, they got a Frederick.
They got a Frederick
here. Yep.
I got that, haven't I? That's the first time I ever knew that.
Yeah. Probably nobody ever called. You were born where?
Right down there in the Onion Flat.
Right on the Onion Flat. I guess you got through talking with Dave Serugino, and he was, he had a lot to say about that down there. He lived all his life down there, I guess. I guess he was sort of an old timer when you were here.
Yeah, he was young when I was there. I remember when he got married, his wife was my school teacher.
Oh? Gerda Anderson? You go to disciple school down there? What did they have any of the old festivals here? Did they have any of the old 4th of July festivals and so on?
Well, they had a celebration in Sherwood.
On 4th of July?
Yeah.
The old baseball diamond was still there. Do you remember any of the, now were the parents, were they all gone by that time?
No, they were all there, yeah.
You see, that would be what, about 1920?
Well, it would be in the 30s, but I remember.
1930?
In the 30s.
Now, you remember your father real well, and he lived all his life here.
Yeah.
Is there anything about him that you remember real well? Because we're...
Not really.
It's, he was just a good, hard-working man. He was a Democrat.
Yeah.
He sort of... wasn't that a little unusual out here? Or were all the agricultural people Democrats?
Well, there was not too many of them, no.
No? Yeah, that was sort of unusual. I always think
all my relations were Democrats, though.
Yeah?
I remember, yeah.
I wonder why that was.
I don't know.
I noticed your, you said your grandfather?
Yeah.
Andy Jackson Hess? And I wonder, we were wondering, did he get named after the, must have been named after the president. It says
I suppose, yeah.
He was born, or his father, Joseph Hess, was born in 1812, so that his father, maybe he was sentimental about that year, 1812, because that was the year that
Jackson was in there.
Yeah, he was a big hero in 1812.
That's probably what he did.
I don't know. I was anytime you see a name like that, you sort of wonder. Maybe he was president by that time. By the time he was born, and you got a strain of Arkansas in there. You know anybody back there?
No. Which where did that come from?
Oh, that's a long time ago here. That's be a great-grandfather was born in Arkansas, and he was of German ancestry. Now, you didn't speak any other language but English, all that you remember. And I know there were a lot of Germans out here at Blue Town. Do you have any relationship to them at all? Did you know them as...
We're Pennsylvania Dutch.
Oh. Now, did you see anything familiar out here from... You know, did you have any sort of sympathy with the Germans out here? I guess they were pretty clannish.
No, they were more Dutch.
Well,
Pennsylvania Dutch.
Well, I heard they were supposed to be Germans. That was the English called them Dutch because they didn't. You know, they heard, well, they're Deutschers. You know, well, they must be Dutch, but they were actually
German.
Yeah.
No, they were pretty much against Germany. Everybody was.
Yeah. I was talking to, do you remember Jim Hoy? Was he still around?
Yeah, I remember Hoy, yeah.
Yeah, he lived on the place where the Catholic Church is now. That was Mrs. Blankensop's dad. And I was just talking to them, and they said that her mother came out here and was real eager to learn German because she could talk to these people over here. And Mrs. Blankensop, she went one day to school over there. She said she beat it for home, you know, because they were talking this funny language at her, you know.
Well, she never, my granddad and grandmother, they knew a few words of it, I guess, but I don't remember speaking it. I don't, nothing I remember of.
Never spoke it at home. you were more, you felt more inclined to go to Sherwood to their 4th of July festival than you would to a German mission festival over here.
Oh, yeah. It was always in Sherwood.
Yeah. And you remember the 4th of July festival?
I remember celebrating real well, yeah.
When did that ball diamond go off?
Oh, God, it's not been in my years.
Didn't the cannery replace it?
Well, it was there when the cannery was there.
Oh, it must have been behind the cannery.
Behind the cannery, the grove of the pine trees there, behind the grove of pine trees. Yeah.
And now you say you remember the parents?
Oh, yeah.
Now, these are big names. Must have been pretty big people. You got a mountain named after them.
Well, yeah, they had a lot of parents up there.
Yeah. Now, there was a good ball player by that name. There are a few other ball players. I guess maybe one or two of them still alive.
Del Baker company.
Del Baker?
Too, yeah. Homer Boston.
Boston.
Boston?
Yeah, Homer Boston was a ball player. Quite a ball player, I guess.
He came from here. That's a name I hadn't heard. Did he make it to the big leagues here?
And it was
Del Baker went to the Detroit Tigers, didn't he?
He went all over. They managed the Tigers. Yeah. But seems to me that Homer Boston made the big leagues too. I don't remember for sure, but seems to me he did. It was the Boston.
Did you ever hear any stories about how Sherwood got its name?
No, you wrote in the paper one day about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I don't believe it.
No, I don't know. No, I never heard that.
I've written two different stories on it now in the paper. One, the official story is that it was came by an election, you know. Everybody got together in 1892 and decided they didn't want to call it Smockville. Now, do you remember any of the Smocks?
Oh, yeah. I remember Johnny Smock.
John Smock. Now, would that have been a grandson of J.C. or something like that? Or was that J.C. Smock?
Well, I guess he'd be a grandson, yeah.
What about these other people, like Moorback? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, one arm, Bill Moorback used to be the president of the banking sure with it.
Yeah, and when you went to do your shopping or something like that, now you go to Portland often. Now you must have. How did you ship onions out by train?
Well, they load them on boxcars over the full side most of it.
Yeah. Mr. Sheragino had an interesting story about how that got his name, Cypole.
Well, that's what I mean.
Chipotle. Were there a lot of, do you remember any other Italians around here? You remember here Italian being spoken?
Oh, I remember old Louis Fausto was an old Italian around here.
Fausto?
Fausto.
Now that's another name.
Funny, Dave Sergina didn't mention him.
No. No, he was rattled off a whole bunch of names. And I didn't, he had trouble thinking of them all.
Yeah, well, he's getting pretty old. He's close to 98.
No, he's around 85. He's had an operation. He's in pain quite a bit. I had real trouble getting over there because they were always, they'd call me and I said, well, you come over tonight, But it took several weeks for him to actually get over there. But, do you remember Italian at all being spoken? Must have died out pretty soon.
I don't think, I don't think Dave even talks like that, does he?
Well, he claims he does.
He might, yeah. I never heard of the younger brother talking about it, though.
No.
Did you know old Sid Westfall? You ever hear of him?
I've heard of him.
Because he was there when you were born, wasn't he, Bud?
Oh, yeah, I just did real well.
He was sitting with his father the day Bud was born. He's 80, what?
He's 90, not 92, is he?
Yeah.
One of us, 88.
Now what about him and
he had the first truck in Sherwood.
First truck?
Yeah, the first truck in Sherwood.
That means he could deliver onions by truck?
He could haul stuff, yeah. He could have been real big if he'd take care of business, but he'd have a drink.
Yeah.
I can remember being at my dad's house drinking cider, and my dad would go to bed early,
Yeah.
And see, he'd drive from Sherwood to Clapboro Road and back down the sticks car, back down there again till he'd see the old man light a lamp in the morning before he had electricity,
Yeah.
Come in and stay again. He'd be an interesting one to talk to.
Is he still around?
Oh, yeah, he's down there at the trailer board.
Uh-huh.
One time, him and old Art Galbraith had a bull on the back of an old Model T pickup, and I couldn't get him unloaded until they tied a rope around the bull's neck and tied the other end to a tree and drove out from under him.
Sounds like you got the job done, all right.
It was in a hurry to get a drink, I guess.
Him and Art Galbraith was quite the...
Art Galbraith now. And how's he relation to Joel? Is that his brother?
Yeah, Joel's uncle.
Joel's uncle? And now Art's not around.
No, he did.
Yeah. Now he's an old timer. He and the Hesses, they go back about as far as he
can. Yeah, about the same time. Yeah. Yeah. Close, yeah.
And they came out here when then? The 1840s? Of course, it says, well, it says the Hesses. Now, they came out here on the first wagon train.
My grandmother, she was a heater. She came, she remembered about coming across the plains on the wagon train.
Do you remember any stories from that she'd tell? I mean, it must have been awfully long.
I can remember her telling about the Indians climbing the trees right down here by the onion swamp, though, and waiting for them to go to bed trying to steal cows.
Oh? She remembers Indians. I know they find a lot of arrowheads down here.
She said she could remember the Indians. They'd climb the trees and wait. They'd have to lock the barn and everything.
Because the Indians would steal cattle?
Yeah, I think you get hold of it. And the gypsies, too. They used to have to watch the gypsies. They used to come along caravans. I remember that.
Yeah. You remember that? And that was Langer's Grove right across from here, wasn't it?
They camped in there and get locked.
There was a dance hall in Langer's Grove. Nobody so far knows anything about it because
there
was there.
Sid Westfall can tell you, though.
Huh?
He's getting in there before he's talking, but I guess he's... I don't know, Sid don't remember too much anymore, does he, though? Or
no, not like he should.
He'd rack his memory, though, he probably would.
Yeah, maybe...
He'd take a little bit of memory, huh?
Sometimes, you know, they think of his things way ahead, you know, if they know you're coming. But... what do you think if you were standing right about here where we are now? Now this house is owned by Kleins. Yeah. Now if we stood this house has been here probably quite a while.
Many years.
Yeah. Do you know who built this? Some of the other houses. Do you happen to know Ruprecht?
Well, I know lots of them. Yeah.
George Ruprecht or old Bill Ruprecht. He used to build a lot of houses around.
I remember old Bill. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's dead now.
Oh yeah. I wondered if he ever, I know a lot of different people used to help him out, build these things.
I wonder who did build this house. I never did.
I'll bet he built this one.
Think about it, I never did ask him.
But what I started to ask was, if he stood right about this spot and you looked out from here, what would you see much difference from the time you were a kid?
Oh yeah, there's Earl Reiser had a grocery store, Holbrook's had a grocery store. Holbrook's in those days had a grocery store here. And down on the other corner, John Burge had a grocery store.
On which corner?
Down there on the east side of Sherwood Road. But it turns into Sherwood now.
Yeah.
And one side there was Holbrook's store and a grove of trees. And across, right then, directly across the street was Byron Stearns' garage. And right across from that was John Burge's store.
So there was, what'd they do in the garage?
Oh, just the regular mechanic's garage.
So now this is Holbrook and Burge?
John Burge had a grocery store there when I was a kid for years.
Now Burge is still alive, isn't he?
Yeah, he's right back here, yeah.
Looks like we're doing all right. So what was it like going to the store? Now there was a difference, they sold different things at Reiser's. No, not Reiser's, Holbrook's.
Earl Reiser bought it from Holbrook's.
And that was the same store that was here in 1950?
Yeah. I don't want to tour down.
Yeah, I still remember that.
Yeah.
I remember when Roger had it.
Yeah. And I remember they had a new store after that, too.
Was your father's two that lived over here? Two Bliss brothers?
Yeah, well, there were three of them.
One of them was crippled?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my brother, my dad's older brothers.
Yeah.
They were all about 20 years older than he was.
Yeah.
And my dad was born down there in that place that just got torn down. Was on a Langer's place down there.
Yeah.
What was it like going to those little stores back in?
For $5, I used to cut cordwood for $1.25 a cord. And go in there for $5 and get all the groceries I could pack. Beans and macaroni and rice, all 6 pounds for a quarter, and bacon 20 cents a pound.
And he'd have to get it all for you?
Huh?
He'd get it for you?
It was right there, they had a bike. I bought lots of stuff from John Burge.
And you didn't help yourself.
You didn't help yourself to the shelves.
No, it was all behind there. They sacked it all.
He had a list. You tell him what you want, he'd go get it.
John Burge had a little bit of everything there for years, you know.
And were these two, Holbrook and Burge, were they in competition then?
Well, no. They went to both places all the time. They had beer. Both of them had beer.
Yeah.
Tap beer, yeah.
Could you sit down in there and have
sure, a beer? They had a little bar there. You sat there all
night. They have a cracker barrel?
Probably did, don't remember.
They talk about Cracker Barrel philosophers, you know, they was always
yeah.
The latest and all this.
Well, they used to all the farms, you sat in bridges, all the surgery, you know.
Oh, yeah? That was just sort of, do you think that they met there more often than they would in Sherwood?
No, I think they met more often at Jurgens Park in those days.
Jurgens Park?
Yeah, remember that?
That in was, Sherwood?
No, it was right down the road here about a mile and a half, 2 miles. You know
on
where
the Willamette River? Or I mean, Twelve River?
No, it's beside the Twelve River. You know where the...
Not where Romer's Rest is.
No, this way from Romer's Rest.
Where all those cars are sitting.
Remember,
right,
remember the old Romer's Rest?
Yeah.
Well, it's just up this way, and across the road, just a couple hundred feet. There was Jurgens Park in there.
I remember Jurgens Park. I don't... Oh, that!
Yeah, they had beer there. I think they'd meet more there than would... Well, I don't know. They went all over. They went from...
Seems like a long way to go.
Almost only a mile down there.
Yeah. Seems like it'd be closer to come here.
Well, they get out every place. One day, one time they'd be at Burgess, one time at Sherwood, and one time down there.
Now these are, you call them farmers?
They're all onion men, yeah.
All onion men?
And,
they had a sort of a group all of themselves then? Because they were used to probably more out on the road.
There wasn't too many people here then.
Oh? Yeah,
no,
okay.
No, they, us and the Serginos and the Galbraiths, and the Walgreys, and the biggest bunch around, right around the swamp there, you see. That was the swamp.
You'd say raising onions down here was more, probably more people doing that than clearing timberland?
Well, then there was no market for timber. Big number one peers would go for cordwood for $1 a cord.
Yeah. There weren't many farms around there.
Yeah,
people with dairies. And of course, you probably had livestock, you know.
Well, my dad had cows, horses, yeah. Chickens.
But it sounds like this whole, as far as agriculture is concerned, it sounds like everything sort of started down there at the swamp, where the ground was easiest to get to and was the most fertile. And
well, you know, they cleared all the land. They raised a lot of grain and hay. And
yeah. Did you ever get to the ocean much in those days?
Oh, yeah. I remember going to the ocean on Sid West with an old Model T truck.
Oh?
That was Raymond Galbraith with Gertie Galbraith with my aunt. And my mother and I, the kids, would get on the back of that old truck, take us down there all day to get to Pacific City, and we'd stay down there 2 or 3 days in the back of that old truck.
Pacific City still there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It'd take you all day to get down there and get back?
Get most of the day to get down there. Then they'd always stay, you know. Get cabins down there for $1 a day, you know.
He tells about when his dad used to put them all in the car and go to Portland, too.
Back in the old Model D.
It was so far between places, and of course, like kids, they always had to stop ever. Toilet along
the road. Well, there's only one toilet down there, Toilet Boulevard. It's still there.
Is that right?
I remember a lot of times the vans go to the old Model T, he'd have to back up some of the hills.
They had to back up the hills?
Yeah, the low band, the Model T's would go out, you know, and turn around. Use reverse and get up the hill sometimes.
Yeah, they had a real complicated sort of gear shift, or what do they call it? Planetary gears.
Yeah, they always bad, they'd wear out, wear smooth, and they'd slip, you know. They got to turn around to the reverse.
And he had an old pickup.
No, my dad had an old touring car.
Touring car, oh. And you'd get in the back of it somehow, and it was sort of open?
The two seats.
Two seats.
The top that went down and up, you know. They were old Model T's.
I suppose cars had already pretty well come in when you were a little kid then.
Yeah.
And, well, where else would you go here in Sherwood? Now, wasn't there a few taverns in Sherwood?
Oh, yeah, that was tavern. That was Copel's. You've heard of that?
Oh, yeah. He still owns that, didn't he?
Well, his sister did.
Oh. There was a Teddy Copel that...
He got killed.
Killed, yeah. And, but you wouldn't, there was a grocery store down there.
Sherwood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two what else was there?
Carlson and Shirk and Kilpatrick.
Yeah. When did they go out? Carlson and Shirk. Gee, that must have been about the biggest store around.
It was big, yeah.
Yeah. And they sold just about everything, didn't they?
Everything.
Do you remember what it was like in any of those stores? Because they were so different from the stores today, you know.
Well, probably go into this old one over here at Shoals, you see it.
Yeah, is that
a lot like it? Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good thing. Bare hardwood floor there, and hear yourself hear the whole store creak as you walk through.
Oh, yeah. I remember going over here in Yam Hill out just a few years ago and go down to the Trellinger Houston store, and they still had horse collars down there.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose they still got them, but still, you know, kind of for show us.
And you remember the big fires? Were there fires?
That one sure was fire, yeah.
Yeah. You remember that one? When was that one? There was, I don't remember these at all. This is, I usually don't ask about these.
I don't remember what year it was.
Yeah.
I remember it was a big fire.
For sure, we got wiped out, you know, just building after building quite a number of times. But I guess it was, it had it coming, I don't know.